are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
If you're blocking 5 or 6 against 8, then the numbers are not in your favor, and that is math.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
There can only be one.
I do not want to see people get hurt, but if someone is going to get hurt, I'm glad it's on the Cowboys.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
For those of you who don't know, Mike used to be a thong model judge back in the day.
Want to see Teddy Bridgewater in person and just, you know, kind of give him a hug.
And this podcast is starting to sound gayer and gayer as I describe it.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Friends of Fantasy Benefits football podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Mike Warner. Mike, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. We are going to experience the Dak Prescott time in Dallas, which I'm sure will be fun. And I know, you know, Tony Romo was folded up like a lawn chair when, you know, he got hit the other day. So it's nice that we'll get to see a still developing quarterback that probably shouldn't be taken in the top 20. And we also have Trevor Siemian, you know, going to be the starter for the Broncos. So it's been kind of a quarterback carousel this preseason.
Yeah, nothing makes me happier than seeing something like that happen to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. I don't want anybody to get hurt. Don't get me wrong. I do not want to see people get hurt. But if someone is going to get hurt, I'm glad it's on the Cowboys.
And can we just say for a second, like, the Broncos brought in Mark Sanchez to bring some, like, veteran stability while, you know, Paxton Lynch and, you know, Siemian get some, you know, reps under their belt and some time experience and everything. And then he loses the job because he's just so erratic himself. It's just kind of like, it's just classic Sanchez at this point.
Yeah, I don't even know what to make of it. I mean, let's talk about these two quarterback situations before we jump into the last division preview. And that will be the NFC West preview. What do you think of the Denver situation? Do you think Siemian holds down the job for a while, or is this just paving the way for like a week 4, week 5 debut of Paxton Lynch?
I think the Broncos don't have a bye until week 11. So I think you're looking at a situation where as long as Siemian doesn't turn the ball over, then, you know, Denver will probably let him have the job until that week 11 bye. If he does start turning the ball over and he becomes more erratic, then we could see, you know, Lynch earlier. We also could see Sanchez. If it's like, you know, week 1, week 2, where Siemian is just looking god awful, like if he throws 3 picks against Carolina week 1, you might see Sanchez come in there and he might take over for a few weeks. Regardless, this is what I've been saying about the Denver pass catchers from day 1. That's why I have Sanders ranked so low. That's why I have Demaryius Thomas ranked so low, is because this has the ability to be a situation that a lot of people want to avoid. And, you know, the only thing that I know for certain is that their defense is solid and that CJ Anderson is going to get the ball a ton. If he gets injured, then it'll go to Devontae Booker. That's all I'm interested in on Denver.
I'm going to disagree with a little bit. One, I don't know for sure, but I don't think that Sanchez makes a team. I think he gets cut.
Yeah, he has like a $4 million, you know, something, whatever.
Roster bonus or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I think Sanchez gets cut, and I think Paxton Lynch to me looks like the best quarterback on that team during the preseason. Yeah. And I know he was playing against lesser competition than the other two, because the other two were mostly playing at the beginning of the game when starters were in, things like that. But he still looked like the best quarterback. I know he's young, I know he's developing, but Simeon's young and developing, so... I don't see why they wouldn't move to Lynch if Siemian struggles. I think that will happen. I think you're right about CJ Anderson and Devontae Booker. I think Booker now has value in redraft leagues, even if he doesn't get the role, because I think they're just going to just run the ball as much as they can. I do disagree with you a little bit in terms of Denver's pass catchers. I think, you know, what we saw last year with Peyton Manning you know, and not to disparage Peyton Manning's illustrious career and him being one of the greatest quarterbacks in his prime of all time. He was awful last year, just absolutely awful. And I can't imagine that either Simeon or Paxton Lynch are going to be that much of a downgrade from what we saw from Peyton at the end of his career. And Sanders and Thomas both got there. So I'm not necessarily as worried about the pass catchers. They're still going to get theirs because they're talented and they're going to design schemes to get the ball in their hands. But let's talk about Kaepernick, or I'm sorry, let's talk about, we'll talk about Kaepernick for sure in a minute. let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys kind of situation now, with Dak Prescott being the starter, Tony Romo out, 6 to 10 weeks, something like that, with a broken bone in his back. How does this affect all the Dallas options for you?
Yeah, I mean, with Romo, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable saying he's going to be back this season necessarily. I mean, I'm not sold that Prescott is developed enough to where he can just no doubt keep the job all year. I don't think that that is something that we can bank on for sure. Excuse me. But I do think that, you know, that what I already thought before, which is Ezekiel Elliott is going to absolutely get a ton of the, you know, work in this offense. You know, they're obviously going to want to run and, you know, protect Prescott as much as they possibly can. I think that you drop Dez Bryant a tad in your projections, at least because, in my opinion, you have Romo probably not seeing the field again until week 7, week 8. I just can't really foresee him coming, you know, or coming back sooner than that. Week 7 is their bye. So week 8 is where I feel comfortable. I know there's been like some 3 to 6 week timelines. You know, I don't know exactly how long the injury might take, but based on the fact that he's been injured in the past with back issues, I'm more comfortable saying week 8. So you have 7 weeks of the year where Dez Bryant, you know, who averages less points per game, with another quarterback other than Tony Romo on the field in his career. You know, I think that you can drop him from being a wide receiver 1 to probably a, you know, mid wide receiver 2 at that point, at least for the first 7 weeks. And that also depends on Prescott. I'm not completely sold on him. I think for fantasy, he's certainly a guy to gamble on. I would put him as like a top 22 to 25 guy, somewhere in that region, because of his running ability and because he does have a couple, you know, nice pass catchers in Williams and Dez Bryant. But, you know, Winton wasn't on my draft board already. Williams was somebody I would target like way, way late if I, you know, was just feeling a little frisky later on in the draft. And Dez was like a wide receiver 1. But I think they can all drop a tier with Ezekiel staying about the same.
Let's see. You know, here's my thing. One, you got to think they're going to bring in a veteran, right?
Because
right now on their depth chart, it looks like Jameel Showers is the backup.
Yeah. Well, they'll bring in a guy to back up Prescott, but Prescott is the guy, like, for now.
Well, for now. I mean, but you don't think they, you know, let's say Mark Sanchez gets cut.
Yeah. No.
He could end up in Dallas. There's a number of other quarterbacks that could end up in Dallas. I mean, would you be that surprised if maybe Dallas goes out and tries to trade for EJ Manuel or someone of that ilk? You got to think they bring someone else in. I guess in a, you know, a 12 or a 14 2 QB league or a super flex league, I'm interested in Prescott, but that's about it. As far as Elliott, I think this hurts his value. And I was going to move him up because I have been impressed by his running ability in the preseason, like I said, I would if I felt I was impressed by him. But I don't feel like I need to now, because you got to think teams are going to put 7-8 men in the box. They're going to make Dak Prescott, you know, beat him or beat them.
Yeah, that line is great, though. Like, I don't know. It's
I understand. But you still, you know, if you're blocking 5 or 6 against 8, then the numbers are not in your favor. And that is math, people. I think Alfred Morris, who's also looked really good in the preseason, gets a little bit of a bump, you know, from where he was. I think Pro Football Focus tweeted out earlier today kind of their best grades for each position. And Alfred Morris was the top running back. Your boy Ryan Tannehill, top quarterback. My boy, formerly your boy, Allen Robinson, best wide receiver. So far in the preseason, and that means absolutely nothing. But I think this pretty much means you can kind of cross off any other wide receiver other than Dez Bryant. I know some people are like, well, maybe Cole Beasley gets some love since he'll run a lot of the short routes. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Dez Bryant definitely takes a hit. Terrence Williams is probably undraftable. Jason Witten probably stays about the same where he was. But for me, the biggest hits on this team are definitely Dez Bryant. And I think Ezekiel Elliott takes a big hit because, like I said, I think they're just going to stack the line.
Yeah, I think for Ezekiel Elliott, you know, some people just believe and they're willing to take him in the first round and some people don't, you know, and I completely understand the side that's saying, you know what, like, I'm not willing to bank my first round pick on a rookie that I haven't seen play in the NFL, you know, live actual reps yet, you know, and regardless of how good the talent or the situation is, I'm just not willing to do that. I completely understand that side. But me personally, you know, I said it last year on the podcast, I'll say it again this year, I'm trying to build an absolute juggernaut that leaves no doubt in terms of every week whether I'll be able to beat somebody or not. And if Ezekiel Elliott hits in the first round, I feel like that's a very good stepping stone to doing that. And even if he doesn't hit, I feel like I have a good enough ability later in the later rounds to be able to make up for it, you know?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump into our NFC West preview. I am working on kind of on a limited time schedule, so we're gonna make this a little bit quicker. And I think that's fair given kind of the division we're talking about, because I think the good players in the division have kind of established value. The bad players in the division don't have much value. So let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals as a team full of value. Carson Palmer, is he underrated to you this year?
I wouldn't say underrated. I think that he's just, you know, not regarded as highly, and he did just leave the game, you know, yesterday. So, you know, definitely monitor that. You know, I think people have in the back of their mind that he is the type of guy that gets injured. And, you know, we've, you know, before last season, everybody dealt with, you know, him missing a ton of time in 2015. And then, you know, the Drew Stanton experience and, you know, just all that type of stuff. So I think maybe that's why he might be a little bit underrated this year. I have him as my number six quarterback, so it's not like I'm underrating him personally. He's the type of guy that, you know, is certainly a quarterback one for me. As far as the, you know, as far as his value for this year, I think he's fairly valued right now. I don't have much to say. I think that he's going to end up falling in the top 10 each and every week. He's a bona fide starter. I don't think you need to draft a backup necessarily if you have him, but if you're a little bit worried about the, you know, the overall injury issues, then I don't mind grabbing a guy behind him. But, you know, last year, the first time, you know, he played 16 games and he was a top five guy. So even if you expect some regression, I think top 10 is fair.
Yeah, I think Palmer is a tad bit underrated this year, considering what he can give you, considering the weapons on this offense. I mean, we're going to talk about the wide receiver core here in a minute. And of course, they still have David Johnson at running back. I just think there's so much to love here. The line is pretty decent. You know, obviously injury is the biggest concern. If he does stay healthy for 16 games, you're going to see probably elite production at the quarterback position, but quarterback is so deep that you can afford, you know, in your 10 and 12 team leagues, to just draft Palmer and grab someone off the wire if the injury comes, or in your deeper leagues, grab someone late as a backup. So I think Palmer is definitely a guy that will end up on a couple of my teams. He hasn't quite yet, but I still have I think I'm drafting at least once or twice a day during Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it's a lot this next week.
Yeah. Let's talk about the running back situation. David Johnson is the presumed guy. Is there any fear that since we saw quite a bit of a committee kind of work last season, that maybe another guy could step in and take away value from David Johnson?
I think you're insinuating that Chris Johnson is going to take away value from David Johnson based on your question. And to answer it, flat out no for me. I've watched every single Arizona preseason game. They have mixed in Chris Johnson, but it's well after David has already been given his, you know, reps at the beginning of the game. He was the best running back in fantasy from week 12 on. And, you know, there is no denying that he won a ton of people that decided to, you know, keep him as a roster stash all year or picked him up off the waiver wire. He ended up, you know, winning leagues for people. So, you know, going into this year, he's a first round running back. And I know a lot of people are doing the opposite this year and saying, you know what, the running back position is too volatile. So I'm going to punt it in the first round. I completely understand that, you know, that way of thinking. But for me, I think David Johnson, especially in PPR leagues, is a absolutely great first round pick. You know, he's the type of guy that can certainly win you a league, and, you know, he's my number three running back on the board right now. So I'm completely in.
Yeah, I'm completely in too. There is a little bit of worry for me with Chris Johnson. Not that he's any good. I do worry that maybe they mix in the veteran from time to time. But David Johnson's one of those guys that I think he's very Jamal Charles-ish. I don't think he necessarily needs 20, you know, touches a game to make a huge impact.
True.
You know, he didn't last year. So I think he's a guy that will be just fine. Even if they do mix in Chris Johnson from time to time, or Andre Ellington if he can ever stay healthy. I love David Johnson. You and I drove the bandwagon last year for that guy all throughout the season, and we were finally rewarded.
It was on the rookie pod when we were talking about the rookies. We were saying David Johnson is the one guy from this draft that can be the biggest difference maker if you were to see the field. You know, and I know we're not trying to run long, but. You know, at least with David Johnson, he's on the, like, you know, I have Todd Gurley as my number one running back and AP as my second. But David, there is no denying David Johnson is on by far the best offense. So as far as like weapons on the team, you know, you have to worry about Fitzgerald. You have to worry about Michael Floyd. You have to worry about John Brown. You have to worry about even some of the fourth and fifth receivers on this team. And then there's David Johnson. So, you know, even though I have Gurley ahead of him, there's no denying that David Johnson is in a better position to have fantasy success than Gurley.
And AP. I mean,
and AP, yeah.
You know, I mean, I have it in that same order, but if I would have no problem if people took David Johnson ahead of AP or Gurley. I don't, because, you know, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm doing exactly what I just talked about with Ezekiel Elliott. I'm bloating the entire box against Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
Make Jared Goff, whoever the quarterback's going to be, you know, week one, if Goff is still injured, to just prove that they can throw the ball down the field, you know? So I love David Johnson. Let's move on to the wide receivers though. Larry Johnson, John Brown, Michael Floyd, all going around the same spot. Tell me which one you think is the most productive this year.
Did you say Larry Johnson for the second week in a row or
did I really? I might have.
Well, Michael Floyd is my guy. I have been enamored with Floyd since he came into the league. I've watched him when he was in Notre Dame. Last year, I think would have went even better if he didn't have a broken finger prior to the season starting. Mm-hmm. That I know a lot of people just kind of shrugged off on draft day, you know, and decided like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter. But you know, you saw what type of receiver he was towards the end of the season. You know, some of his game logs on week 13: 12 for 104, 9 for 102 and a touch, 8 for 70, 8 for 111. 4 for 16 the last game of the season in week 17. Hopefully you're not playing your championships then anyways. But regardless, he was a wide receiver one to close out the year. Right now you're able to draft him at a much more economical price. You know, he's right now about a fifth, sixth round pick. Completely happy with that. I you know, by far Michael Floyd for me. I'm a little bit worried about John Brown. I was on his bandwagon last year. He's had a concussion problem. He's also a smaller guy. He was more of a third or fourth weapon in the offense, especially when David Johnson kind of, you know, ended up coming into the fold at the end of the year last year. So John Brown is kind of off my draft board right now. And so is Fitzgerald, even though he has like that, you know, the slight tear of his MCL. That's not what really bothers me. It's just he's getting a little bit older. He's more of a possession receiver now. You know, Michael Floyd is by far the most dynamic pass catcher of the group. And he's going just a little bit later than Fitzgerald. So, I would much rather have Floyd rather than anybody else.
I completely agree with you. I'm a little worried about John Brown. I've never been the biggest John Brown guy to begin with. Larry Fitzgerald is getting older. The tear does scare me a little bit more than it scares you. Would it surprise me if they finish in any order, you know, out of the three of these guys? No, it wouldn't. I mean, they're all talented. Carson Palmer will spread the ball around to the open guy. But Michael Floyd is the guy I believe in the most. I was on that bandwagon last year. Had to wait quite a bit for it to kind of come to fruition, but I just think he is the highest upside of all three of those guys.
Yeah, and deeper league guys, I just want you guys to remember, you know, J.J. Nelson had a couple really big games last year, and then Jerron Brown has looked solid as well. So just like your deeper league guys, you know, this is a really potent Arizona offense if Fitzgerald or Floyd or Brown, for that matter, you know, go down.
Yeah, to me, Nelson is more of a guy who... Like, he reminds me of Aldrick Robinson.
Yeah, he's like a dart throw play. He might get, like, one reception for 60 yards and a touchdown.
He's like you are desperate on your bye week, It's a Monday night game. You have a choice between him and a guy you know is going to get you 5 points, but you need at least 10 to win. Yeah. And you go, oh, give me J.J. Nelson and just hope he gets, you know, a 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go ahead and move on to the Rams because there's nobody at tight end worth talking about, correct?
I mean, I like Fells a little bit, but again, this is really deep leagues. So, you know, keep your eye on Fells. And I like what I've seen from Nicholas, Troy Nicholas.
I like what I've seen from Nicholas, too.
Like, he's been really, he's been like a grinder this preseason, just really, really,
he's
just
still
physical.
Third on the depth chart right now. And I just, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, regardless, there are guys just to like kind of monitor, but not really worry about right now.
All right. Let's move on. Talk about the LA Rams. I keep on going the St. Louis Rams. You interested in any quarterback on this team right now?
For fantasy, no. You know, we'll monitor Jared Goff, and you know, we'll see what happens with him.
Broke his butt.
Yeah, you know, I just don't know when he's actually going to start because Case Keenum. No, he's not like fantasy viable, but he's ran the offense well. You know, and if you watch Hard Knocks, he's kind of, you know, mentoring Jared Goff a bit, which tells me that, you know, the Rams are trying to win. They're all in. If for those of you that are watching Hard Knocks, they don't want any of that 7-9 bullshit right now. So, like, you know, Case Keenum is the type of guy that I think will end up starting at least the first half of the year. They have a week 8 bye. So you could see Jared Goff come in, you know, in week 9 against Carolina, you know, but it's kind of a guessing game at that point. Regardless, neither of these guys are guys you want to target in fantasy at all, unless you're in a two quarterback format and you want them as your like third or fourth quarterback on your team. So maybe a bye week fill in for two quarterback leagues. Other than that, just steer clear.
All right. I've been talking about all the guys I've been hot or as high on last year that proved me right. Let's talk about one just real quick that I was completely wrong on. That was Todd Gurley. I didn't want to have anything to do with him last year. When he finally hit the ground, he hit it running hard. We both have him as our number two running back off the board. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot to talk about necessarily with Gurley. I think you could draft him with confidence. What are your thoughts on Gurley?
I actually have him as my number one guy.
Okay.
From a running back standpoint, I don't have him as my number one.
Yeah, no, I understand.
But yeah, I mean, there's not much to really say. He's a running back one. I think that he's the type of guy that you can take in the middle of the first round. And, you know, I think he's going to be a stud this year. That's all, you know, there really is to say. He was a top five running back last year, and he didn't play a full season. So take that for what it's worth. And they're not using him at all in the preseason right now. They're just waiting.
Oh, yeah. No, he's you know, I mean, there are some good division or good defenses in that division, but there's one really, really bad one. So that may all even it out for you. we'll talk about them in a minute. Let's talk about the wide receivers. Tavon Austin got a new deal. Kenny Britt's still on the team. Brian Quick's still on the team. Any of these guys are you targeting on draft day?
Well, I know who you're targeting, Mr.
Nope,
Brian Quick.
None of them. Absolutely. Well, actually, you know, I was on Tavon Austin last year. I think you got your money's worth with him. I don't think I would necessarily take him where he's going this year. But, you know, I don't want – with the quarterback situation there, the only pass catcher on this team I'm interested in is Tyler Higbee.
Really? Yeah. You know, I'm a little bit more optimistic about Austin. I feel like, you know, he's the type of guy that took a while to kind of get acclimated to the NFL game. He only had 4 touchdowns last year, but you know, he is one of the guys, you know, I watch you know, Hard Knocks all the time, and you know, he's one of the guys that's just the focal point of this offense when you know, especially from a wide receiver angle. Nobody topped him in last season in red zone touches.
Hold on a sec. So he had more than 4 touchdowns last year. He had 4 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Sorry.
Five receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, 9 total. Sorry, right. I read the wrong thing. Either way, he's a focal point of the offense from a different, you know, from an array of different areas. So either from the punt return game or from the wide receiver or from the rushing spot, you can get multiple ways that he can score. You know, he was a top 20, essentially a top 20 wide receiver last year. And he's somebody that you can get, you know, way later than that currently. So I'm not out on somebody like Tavon Austin. I mean, he's like an 11th round pick. I'd say as a wide receiver 4, I'm okay with it. The rest of the guys, I'm just not completely in for. I guess you can, you know, keep an eye on Farrow Cooper. He's the type of he's not.
He's injured right now, though, which really sets him back in learning the system and running routes properly.
And he wasn't physical enough even prior to that. He was going to take some time. But I do think that, you know, Nelson Spruce is the type of guy I would keep my eye on. You know, Michael Thomas, not the New Orleans one, the L.A. Rams one, is somebody to keep an eye on, too. But from a fantasy perspective this year, I think that, you know, Tavon Austin is the only guy that I would even relevantly look at all.
Yeah, the nice thing about Austin is, you know, they're going to try to get him the ball. And they showed you that last year with the four rushing touchdowns. You know, they run the ball with him. They throw the ball to him. They try to get him out in space with the bubble screens. So, I mean, he's going to get his. I think 11th round pick, that's actually not bad. I thought he was going higher than that. So I think that's pretty fair value. Wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, depending on how quickly you take wide receivers. To me, the guy that I'm really interested in is Tyler Higbee. Now, this is for really, really deeper leagues at tight end. Higbee's a rookie coming out of Western Kentucky. Had it not been for some off-the-field problems, he probably would have gone higher. So Higbee is a guy that I think will be a large part of the offense at some point this season. You can in most of your leagues, you can probably just put him on your watch list and kind of wait and see. But he's 6'6", 250, can move down the field. I think this kid is going to be something special for the Rams at some point.
Yeah, dynasty leagues for sure. I think that you definitely could take a gamble on him. And the Rams offense as a whole is somewhat creative. I know they're not like really with their running back situation. They kind of just run Todd Gurley the same way all the time. But with Tavon Austin and some of their pass catchers, if you have the ability, they will get a little bit creative with you. And Higbee is the type of guy that can do that, especially a red zone threat too. So in standard formats, Higbee could have some value this year if they use him right. And if Lance Kendricks doesn't see a ton of time on the field.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number one in fantasy sports for the 8th straight time, on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99, that's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.
All right, let's jump into the San Francisco 49ers. we're not going to get into the Colin Kaepernick anthem situation. I don't know if you've tweeted about it, but I definitely did. So if you really want to know our takes on it, feel free to kind of go through our Twitter feeds. If you're not following us on Twitter, follow Mike at Mike Warner, FWFB, me at Justin Mason, FWFB. But I don't think it's worth talking about it. What is worth talking about is, it doesn't matter who is starting at quarterback for you.
Not really. I think that both of them have, you know, different skill sets. As much as I've trashed Blaine Gabbert in the past, he was somewhat okay last year. I'm not gonna
that really describes Blaine Gabbert. He was somewhat okay.
Yeah, he was like serviceable. Ish, you know, there was, you know, it, regardless, you know, this is a bad situation. I don't know how Kaepernick has gone this far down the deep end. Not from, you know, I'm not talking about the off-field stuff. I'm talking about strictly on the field, how it's gotten to this point. You know, I think most of it is because he has always been kind of a one read and then, you know, drop and, you know, start running type of guy. So, you know, we'll see, you know, the Chip Kelly effect. I only kind of take so far here because, you know, in Philadelphia, he had the ability to choose everybody that was on his roster to fit his scheme and what he wanted to do. In San Francisco, he's not having that capability and he's being given a roster that he had nothing to do with. So, you know, with Blaine Gabbert or Kaepernick, I don't see this as a situation that you want to look into at all. I think it more kind of is something that we need to focus on for the pass catchers and the, you know, running backs. We'll get to them. But from a strictly like two quarterback situation, I don't think either of them are somebody that you want to really target. If any, I will say, to you know, for what it's worth, I think Blaine Gabbert probably starts the majority of the games this year.
Yeah, I was earlier in the preseason, I was kind of on the Colin Kaepernick train in terms of who would win the job because I just don't believe in Blaine Gabbert as a quarterback. I'm less and less certain, especially with all this nonsense that's going around. that is going to happen. I don't really want anything to do with Blaine Gabbert. I don't want anything really to do with the pass catchers. The one guy I want to have something to do with is Carlos Hyde, who did sustain a concussion in the last game, but appears to be working his way back from that. What are your thoughts on Carlos Hyde this year?
Coming into this season, I was really high on him, to be honest with you, because as soon as I saw that, Chip Kelly was going there, I immediately kind of had my ears perk up a bit because, this is a situation where Carlos Hyde can get, 20 more plays a game and more opportunity to run the ball. I think everybody is still, remembering what he did in week one last year against a Minnesota defense that was Super Bowl caliber, in my opinion. So, the talent, I think, is still there. I do worry a little bit about the injuries at this point. We're looking at a concussion now. Last year he had, I can't remember whether it was a foot or I think it was a plantar fascia issue. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly. But regardless, he missed a ton of time because of that. So that's 2 years in a row now we're looking at something with Hyde from a durability standpoint that is, negative. But, I have him as my 15th running back off the board right now. He's the type of guy that I think – especially in standard formats and even in PPR, if you want to talk that, could help win you a league. He's a third round pick and standard right now among the consensus. So I'm still in to draft him as my running back 2, but I think a lot of people are going to be, doing the opposite, which means they're going to want him as a running back 1. There's just a couple guys a little bit later, that I would probably want ahead of him. I'm still a Jeremy Hill believer. I probably would feel better about him. Jeremy Langford has kind of turned me around full circle this preseason, so I probably would take a shot on him a little bit later as well. I just worry a little bit about Hyde, but the talent I think is undeniable.
Yeah, I'm still pretty high on Hyde. I'm not, the concussion, it's 2 days removed from the concussion and he's already riding a stationary bike and doing activities, so it seems like he'll probably be fine for the start of the season, though we can never really be sure with concussions. I love the fit in the system. He has looked good in preseason, so I think he is going to be a workhorse this year. I think I would prefer him with Kaepernick as his quarterback because we know our running quarterback can kind of help open up lanes. But even with Gabbert, I think he'll be just fine in the system. And I think he's going to be a fantastic RB2. If you're taking him in RB1, you're taking him too high, and maybe the concussion slows the roll for some people, who are still drafting. But as your RB2, I think it's a pretty nice fit, and I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of what I'm wondering too. Is based on the concussion, where is he going to go? Like if he's going down to a 5th round pick, I'm completely in to do that. If he's staying around the 3rd, 4th. It's a decision where, if I feel the value is good based on who's been taking, I'm okay with it. If not, then you kind of move on.
Fair. Let's move on. Talk about the wide receivers. There's a lot of hype for Torrey Smith. Are you in on that?
I go back and forth on Torrey Smith almost daily. So, you asked me today, I'm not in on the hype. If you asked me yesterday, I probably would have told you I'm in. My latest roster rankings update, I have had him as 40th wide receiver, which means I obviously was completely in while I was doing that. I just, I haven't loved what I've seen in the preseason, and I'm not loving the quarterback situation still. I've been assuming that Kaepernick was going to be the guy pretty much, the first couple weeks of the preseason and training camp here, and then the last week it's really kind of taken a turn where I feel like, Blaine Gabbert is and will be the starter the rest of the way. Not to say I think Torrey Smith won't have value, but this is getting to the point where, Blaine Gabbert I just don't believe in. I especially don't believe in his deep ball. Torrey Smith is pretty much a deep ball specialist here. At this point, I think it's getting less and less likely that we're going to see a breakout performance from Torrey Smith. He's shown in the past that he's just the type of guy that's inconsistent on a week-to-week basis. And he's also, at the end of the day, going a little bit ahead of guys that we've already talked about here. I'm completely into Tavon Austin, who's going behind Torrey Smith, Travis Benjamin, Michael Thomas from New Orleans, all of those guys, Laquan Treadwell, Devin Funchess. These are all guys going a little bit later than Smith. So I am not going to be wanting Smith in drafts. I haven't drafted him yet. I'm definitely going to revise my rankings and drop him down a bit based on the quarterback situation and just his consistency.
Yeah, and our rankings will be updated. They'll be up as of Wednesday morning, so the day after you're probably hearing this, if you're listening to this on Tuesday. I completely agree with you with Torrey Smith. With Kaepernick not being the quarterback more than likely, I just don't trust Gabbert's deep ball at all. Like, I think, you know, there's going to be one guy that we're going to talk about here that's going to take a huge step up in value. Not that he'll get drafted anywhere more than likely, but Torrey Smith, to me, takes a huge hit in value. All he can run is a go route. That is not good at the NFL level. He's going to have games, you know, that he completely goes off, you know, catches 5-6 balls for 130 yards and a touchdown or two. But the majority of the time, you're going to be wondering why you wasted a pick on the guy. So I don't want to have anything to do with Torrey Smith. Let everybody else pay for the hype. I'm not going to. Any other wide receiver on this team interesting to you at all?
Bruce Ellington. And, you know, when I made the original Torrey Smith ranking, part of it was also that Chip Kelly's wide receiver one, which tended to be Jordan Matthews, has always had a good history. So I kind of equated that to what Torrey Smith might be able to do under that. But I think Bruce Ellington might be the better fit for Chip Kelly's system. He has a better skill set, like a slot receiver, really quick off the line of scrimmage, not the biggest guy in the world, but I think that especially in PPR leagues, he's a sneaky guy just to grab late that could pay some, you know, wide receiver four numbers for you. I know Tajay Sharp is getting a ton of hype right now, you know, a little bit later on in drafts where, you know, currently where Bruce Ellington is going. But I'm especially in PPR, like I said, I'm in for Ellington because I just think that this could be the year where he kind of makes a step forward. You know, fourth round pick, has a pretty good pedigree. We'll see what happens, but he is interesting to me.
Yeah, Ellington is the guy I was going to be talking about, so I think you absolutely nailed it. He's a guy I talked about quite a bit in the preseason last year, never really quite emerged, but I think this could be the year, especially as a slot guy, especially as an outlet for Blaine Gabbert in your PPR leagues that probably isn't being drafted just about anywhere.
Yeah, it's late. And I just to go back really fast, with Hyde, if you had to choose a handcuff for him, are you doing Jerome or are you doing Mike Davis? Because I've really liked what I've seen from Davis thus far.
Well, I haven't liked all the fumbles.
Well, no, but overall, I've liked what I've seen
It's Jerome for me. The fumbling is an issue. But I could see all three of these guys getting a little bit of work.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if you're worried about Hyde and you want to kind of handcuff, you know, what the decision would be.
Currently, Davis is fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah, he is. And that's, you know, true.
So, I mean, I think he's fourth on the depth chart at running back. So that's an issue. The fumbling has been a major issue for Mike Davis. And I've liked Mike Davis in the past. Yeah. You know, I was coming into the season thinking Mike Davis was the handcuff. But I think Drone is kind of cemented there, especially after what he did last season.
Yeah, my thing about Drone is if he does assume the full-time role when Hyde goes down or if Hyde goes down, then you're looking at like low-end running back two, where I think Mike Davis, if he doesn't, you know, turn the ball over all the time, he could be more of a high-end running back two, like at least in PPR, you know?
Yeah, but you can't get a lot of carries if you put him on the ground.
True.
I'm looking at you, Matt Jones. the guy I alluded to earlier as Blaine Gabbert's favorite target is Garrett Celek. He is a tight end that will not be drafted in just about any format, but with Gabbert more than likely being the starter, he probably should start getting some low-end tight end two looks, especially in PPR formats. Celek isn't extremely talented, but Gabbert does seem to really like him and get him the ball quite a bit. He is tall, could be a kind of a red zone target for him. So a guy to kind of keep on your radar, you know, and if you're struggling at your tight end two spot late in the draft, he's probably still on the board.
Yeah, I like McDonald's. He, you know, he wasn't completely consistent last year, but he did have a couple weeks against Seattle and Arizona, you know, 465 in a touch, 671 in a touch, you know, which is solid. And, you know, he's also somebody that has been targeted in the red zone a ton by Gabbert as well. You know, so you could be seeing a situation where he's really sneaky and, you know, you don't have to pay, like you said, you don't have to pay anything for him at all. And Anquan Boldin's gone.
Exactly. Let's go ahead and move on to the Seattle Seahawks. I almost said Supersonics there.
Sean Kemp, what up?
Yeah, exactly. It's my boy, Vin Baker in the house. Russell Wilson, do you think he is a tad bit underrated this year, or is he fairly kind of marketed?
I think he's a tad bit overrated, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you know, I still can't get out of my head because I drafted Russell Wilson in multiple spots last year. And the first 8 weeks of the year for him were just so demoralizingly bad that, you know, even if you got to reap the rewards of the second half that he had, you know, where he ended up finishing as the top guy the second half of the season, which catapulted him to the top three realm among quarterbacks overall, you know, you probably were already 2-6 or 3-4.
Yeah, your season was virtually done anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So even though you might have gotten that in the second half, you didn't. You know, the only way that you are happy with Wilson last year is if you traded for him halfway through, or if you, you know, somehow, some way had a backup that was able to, you know, do well for you prior to, you know, Wilson, you know, lighting on fire or whatever. And chances are you had him on the bench one or two of those games.
Yeah. There's no way you started anybody over Wilson. You just waited for the breakout and paid for it.
Exactly. So, you know, for me, I think he's going a bit too high. I'm not going to spend a third or fourth round pick on him. Not to say I don't think he is a top five quarterback in fantasy, because with his legs and with the fact that, you know, Seattle looks to be going with a little bit more of a pass happy scheme. They found who they love, Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin, and they obviously love Rawls as well. So that offense, that core has done well, and they're an offense that needs to be reckoned with. But as far as a top five quarterback, there's just so many other guys, and especially, you know, Andrew Luck, Drew Brees, who are going later than him. There's just no reason not to wait a little bit longer and grab one of those guys instead.
I think that's fair. I mean, I like Russell Wilson. I don't think he's overrated or underrated. I think he's kind of perfectly placed in his ADP right now. I have Luck above him, but I mean, to me, that tier is all a mismatch of talent. I'll take anybody who falls the farthest out of that grouping. So let's the running back situation. I mean, we all assumed Thomas Rawls would be the guy. There's been a lot of talk about Christine Michael, and I know you've been a Christine Michael apologist before. Thomas Rawls was, I got to say, your best call of the year last year, though. So who you got out of the running back situation here?
At the beginning of training camp, I was still completely on board the Thomas Rawls train, because every single, you know, piece of news that we got was encouraging that he was going to be, you know, ready as soon as the season started and everything. And then it got a little bit gloomy. You know, a couple weeks ago, it got a little bit gloomy because he still wasn't off of PUP yet. And, you know, we weren't really clear on a timetable for Rawls. Now it's certainly, you know, trending back up. He hasn't played in a preseason game yet, but everybody is saying that he's going to be ready for week one. My issue is that Christy Michael has just looked fabulous in the preseason. And, you know, after getting cut by, you know, seemingly every team in the NFL last year, you know, he came back to his home, you know, Seattle, you know, where he was originally drafted as a high draft pick, might I add, and, you know, has found himself a role there. To what extent, I don't know yet, but at the same time, you know Rawls is coming off of a major injury. We haven't seen him on the field yet post that injury at all, you know, and I trust that the Seahawks wouldn't, you know, put him on the field if he, you know, wasn't going to be looking at least 90% of his old self. But you can't deny that Michael has at least paved his way to have a role on this team, to be a second back, and certainly the best handcuff, or one of the best handcuffs in the NFL for fantasy purposes, in my opinion. You are going to have to pay for both, really. Michael, I've seen go from being close to undrafted to being taken in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, and Rawls has gone from being a third round pick to being a more of a fourth, fifth round guy. So I'm actually into draft both of them. I believe in both of them. I think that this is a team that's going to continue to use the run, and you know, they're going to mix and match the offense fairly well. But at the end of the day, remember with Christy Michael, he's not an undrafted free agent like Thomas Rawls. He's from a very good school in Texas A&M, and the talent has never been the question. It's always been what's upstairs. And I think the fact that he, you know, got cut by everybody in this league, not literally, and ended up coming back to Seattle with his head on straight, speaks volumes.
Yeah, I think the bottom line for me is I probably won't be touching Rawls. I'm just not willing to pay the price for him this year. I think I'd rather just take another wide receiver or a quarterback in those spots. And I probably will have a share or two of Christine Michael just for the upside alone. But I for me, it's Rawls kind of falls too far down my draft board now, in case there is a timeshare that I probably don't want to touch him. Let's talk about Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, Are you buying into the hype of these guys?
I'm buying into the hype of Lockett. And, you know, there's been some...
I want to, too, but it's so outrageous.
I don't think it's that outrageous quite yet. You know, right now his consensus ADP is right around 80, which means, you know, in 12-team leagues, it's right around the seventh round. That's completely fair for somebody like Lockett, who's been compared to Antonio Brown, who, you know, Matt Harmon of NFL.com and footballguys.com, he does a reception perception model.
Which is fantastic, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. You know, and Tyler Lockett is one of his best guys, according to that model that he does.
And Michael Floyd.
Yeah, and Michael Floyd. So, you know, Tyler Lockett, you know, when you start spewing out Antonio Brown comparisons and then you start looking at how good Lockett was last year as a rookie, just dynamic, able to, you know, with ease, he was just able to get by corners, you know, and this was when he wasn't even a focal point of the offense yet. He was a top 40 guy last year. Right now in drafts, he's being taken on consensus as, you know, a top 35 guy. I think that's fair automatically. And if he breaks out and is a top 25 receiver, then you're looking at a massive, massive value at that point. You know, I think that this is certainly a guy that can break out this year. Basically, just because I don't think Doug Baldwin scores half as much as what he did last year alone. So if you throw some of that to Lockett, you're all of a sudden looking at more of an even, you know, touchdown share amongst the two of them, and they're probably much more evenly ranked. Let's all be honest here. Like, Doug Baldwin's not going to finish as a top 10 receiver again, maybe ever in his career. So, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, my point with somebody like Baldwin and Lockett. There's really nobody else in this wide receiver core that, you know, I think would, you know, garners any real interest in drafts. These are the two. But I do want to just throw out Paul Richardson, a guy that's been injured multiple times throughout his career, has not stayed healthy at all. He's looked fine in the preseason. I've really liked what I've seen from him. So in deeper leagues, you can kind of keep an eye on Paul Richardson in case Doug Baldwin were to go down. But I'm not high on Baldwin, just to answer your question. I haven't drafted Baldwin anywhere, but I love Lockett.
I love Lockett, too. I just... You know, I guess his ADP doesn't reflect what's been happening in my draft.
Yeah, I've seen him go. My draft the other night, he went in the fifth round, which I think is
and
pretty much
what I've been seeing.
Yeah, you're getting rid of the value at that point. So I disagree with taking him in the fifth round. If you're taking him in the sixth, I'm okay with that. Maybe the seventh. But the fifth round is just getting a little bit too
rich. If I'm getting him outside the top 30 wide receivers, I'm totally happy and ecstatic with that. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's been going closer to the top 20 in a lot of the drafts I'm in, you know, and the rest of my drafts have Seattle Seahawks fans in it. So it's either Tail Bedick or my buddy Mike, who are both diehard Seahawks fans. So I don't think I'm going to get any shares of Lockett this year, which is unfortunate. I'm just not going to overpay for someone, even if I do love the skill set. Let's talk about Jimmy Graham real quick. And then I got to get out of here. So we got to wrap it up. Are you drafting Jimmy Graham at all?
No. And, you know, keep it simple. He's coming back from a patellar tendon issue. He already didn't fit in the offense last year. I mean, let's be clear about that. He didn't fit in to what the Seahawks do. You know, he's just as dynamic as he is, he just is not a good fit for this team. I don't understand what they were doing from the beginning with him. I would have, if I was Seattle, I would have never traded Max Unger. I mean, obviously they had a ton of injury or offensive line woes last year, and it just kind of all multiplied when they ended up grabbing Jimmy Graham, who can't block at all. But, you know, Jimmy Graham last year from week one to week 12 was the number 9 tight end in fantasy. And then he ended up getting injured for the year. This is about as severe as it gets. There's not a ton of guys, if any, that have come back from this injury as good as before. You know, so I think right now somebody like Jimmy Graham is pretty much just off my draft board. I haven't come close to drafting him anywhere. He's the 12th tight end right now. I would much rather go with Martellus Bennett, Dwayne Allen, even Eric Ebron, Charles Clay. You know, I would rather wait and, you know, just not go with Jimmy Graham at all.
Yeah, I'm not as down on Graham as you, because as long as you've got an IR spot or something like that, you can kind of shove him into. I think there's enough depth at the tight end position where you can roster two guys. So here's my thing. There's always going to be someone in your league that loves him, absolutely loves him, and remembers what he did in New Orleans and went, oh my God, I'm getting Jimmy Graham as the 12th or 13th tight end. And so there's always going to be some asshole in your league that jumps ahead and takes him as the number 6th, 7th, you know, 8th guy off the board. And that's where I'm out. You know, if he falls to me with good value, That's great, but he hasn't yet. And like I said, I'm playing with Seahawks fans the rest of my leagues, so he probably won't. But I don't have a problem with him if you want to take him as your 12th, 13th ranked tight end off the board, as long as you grab someone else immediately after, because we have no idea what he's going to look like if and when he comes back. That is going to wrap us up. Mike, why don't you tell people where you can be reached and what you're working on?
Yeah, reach me on Twitter at Mike Werner, FWFB. I've done a lot of watching the preseason games. I'll post some videos on there. I really like to be interactive, and get me up to 1,000 followers. I'm getting close, so help me out. Let me, I'll follow you back, whatever you need. As far as football goes, I'll be writing some more in-season stuff on friendswithfantasybenefits.com for football. I also am doing my Texans updates on fantasypros.com. I'll also be kind of spreading that out as the season goes on into more of the IDP area and probably some kind of open coverage there at Fantasy Pros. In terms of baseball and the site, we're still rolling strong there. Please check it out. Please leave us 5-star review on iTunes, and you know, we also I'll let you talk about the other stuff going on, but you know, we got a lot of stuff going on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Check it out and help us out.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Get me to 1,000 followers. I will not follow you back because I don't want you sliding into my DMs all the time. I'm way farther away than Mike. So if you can get me to 1,000 Twitter followers before we get to Mike, there'll be a prize for one of my Twitter followers that followed me after this date. I think I'm at 600 right now. You can always read what I write for football on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Read all my baseball stuff at FanGraphs right now. We got a lot of stuff going on. We added a new podcast, as I'm sure you heard on the last podcast. That is the Off the Record podcast. It is actually not like property of Friends of Fantasy Benefits. We've partnered up with Nickel Press TV. You can find them over on YouTube. That whole podcast is available as a video cast. This is just the audio version of it. You can go watch it on friendsoffantasybenefits.com or on YouTube / Nickel Press TV. Andy Singleton, Taylor Beddick, good buddies of ours now in the industry. And we decided to kind of team up and try to help them out as they help us out with extra content. Definitely go check that out. They do a lot of really cool stuff with that. So I implore you to give it a listen. They have an actual doctor.
Yeah,
that
what?
Yeah, exactly. Like a real doctor, like not a physical therapist, not like, like a fake doctor, a real doctor who gives medical, insight to the injuries the players are going through. He does a little bit on their video cast every week. It's really, really cool. Then you've always got love Tejo Beddick, from Razzball and just from his own personality. So definitely go and check all that out. Listen to it on our podcast. Go watch the video cast on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Other than that, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head, so I'm just going to wrap it up here. Our ranks coming out, last ranks coming out Wednesday. Definitely check that out on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Eric Mackey just dropped a new football article, so definitely check that out. But that will wrap us up. For Mike and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.